We all know that timing is everything. That's why University of Phoenix makes it easy to balance work, family, and school with online classes 24/7, so you get the freedom to learn when and where you want. Start your degree at phoenix.edu.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, football fans. Welcome to the Believe NFL Draft Special on Bally's Ohio. Lindsay Rhodes and Solomon Wilcott from the Believe Fantasy Football Show and Believe in Bengals Show, respectively, taking a look at the draft, which is just days away now. Solly, it's almost here, finally.
Yeah, Lens, look, we're excited about it. Whether you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan or a Cleveland Browns fan, this is the show to watch because we get to have some fun with this. These two teams are hotly contested, but teams are, you know, kind of they stand down on draft day. They actually, what, work together. You can see trades happening, taking place, right? Teams moving up or down the board, given what player you may want to give up. I don't think we'll see Bengals and Browns doing any deals. However, everyone's standing down. We're all friends here, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. We're gonna talk about the Bengals and the Browns and their two draft approaches very specifically, very different. I mean, they're different in terms of the amount of capital with which they have to approach this draft. We're starting with the Bengals, who have the ninth most draft capital, according to Tankathon. They've got a ton of picks. We're looking at 18, 49, two other day two picks, three picks in the 100 range, three in the 200 range. Before we get to their draft approach and the guys that they might want to take, there is this other situation that could impact their draft, and that is the T. Higgins contract status. Will they trade him? Will they not trade him? He's on the tag. He has said that he's anticipating playing in Cincinnati next year. Are you anticipating that as well?
I really am. I'm anticipating that T. Higgins will be playing for the Cincinnati Bengals during the upcoming 2024 season. Now, someone calls up Duke Tobin, calls the Cincinnati Bengals, and bowls them over with an offer, then there's no doubt they're listening. But I think they intend to keep T. Higgins, to keep the wide receiving core intact, who has such great chemistry with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. He really does fit in that locker room very well. The Bengals are very intentional about who they're willing to bring into that locker room. So someone's going to have to pretty much bowl them over by giving up a king's ransom to pry T. Higgins away from the Cincinnati
Bengals. What do you think would constitute a king's ransom in this case? Like, what would get it done?
Well, first-round pick. Typically, you're not probably going to get that. Remember, he was taken in the 2020 draft with the first pick in the second round. So on day two, he was the guy that heard his name called first. I think they would want a starter. Say if they took a second-round pick, they would want someone who can come in and start for this football team right away in an area where they have a need. So they're not beyond. I think the last time they made this kind of trade, it was Billy Price, who had been a first-round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals in 2018. And just prior to the 2021 season, they traded center Billy Price to the New York Giants for B.J. Hill. And almost unanimously, everyone within the Bengals organization felt like they won that swap. And they felt really good about bringing over B.J. Hill, who ended up getting a new contract at the end of the 2021 season.
All right, so a trade involving T, you think, may be unlikely on draft day. What about a different kind of trade? What about a trade out of the 18th pick, either up or down? Is this a team that you see working the board with that pick? What's the best approach strategically, in your opinion?
They really don't normally do that. You don't see them trading up or down and doing like a piano and trying to acquire more picks. They already have 10 total draft picks, so they don't need more currency. In fact, they've got three picks in the third round. As you well know, you want to get as many picks in the top 100 selections as you can possibly get. Right now, they have five. So I don't even know that they would be looking to move up. If they didn't have a second, maybe moving down to pick to acquire a second round pick, that would be maybe in the cards. But where they're sitting right now, when you consider the fact that they already have a quarterback lens, teams are going to be moving up the board to try to get some of the talented quarterbacks in the 2024 draft. What does that mean? Other players of need outside of the quarterback position are going to fall to them at 18. They're going to get pretty much really good interior defensive linemen at 18. They're going to have an option to maybe get a really good offensive lineman with the 18th overall pick. Now, if they covet maybe one of those players, and only they know, right? Which guy they really truly love more than maybe the others. And if they feel there's great disparity between the guy they would prioritize as opposed to the next guy at that same position, then I think that's always for any team to say, hey, maybe we want to consider going up to get our guy as long as we're not having to give up too much. So I don't see them doing that. But yet I'm not taking it off.
Yeah, I think that your point about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft is a really smart one in terms of the value that it creates further down the board for other people that aren't in the quarterback market. I would also say the same thing for wide receivers. If you're looking those top three wide receivers, I mean, they're going to go, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so if you're not a team that's that right. needs that, it's going to push, or if you're drafting in the second half of the draft, as the Bengals are at 18, then you could have like some of the top defensive guys or the players at other position groups are going to go much later in the first round than they would in a different year. So who's your target at 18? If you're staying put, best case, realistic scenario, who do you want?
Well, it's a sort of the Bengals did such a good job, Lens, during free agency, really filling all of their needs. So it gives them great flexibility with what they could do at 18. And so now they're pretty much drafting for what? Depth. They're not really even drafting for a starter. Of course, if you take someone 18th overall, he's a first round pick, you would like for him to be a day one starter if you needed him, but they won't be pressed into a situation where they would have to do it. For instance, with those players at certain positions that we talked about that could fall, how about a quality defensive tackle? I think one of the best on the board could be there. I think a cornerback. Think cornerback, right? One of the best on the board when they go on the clock with the 18th overall selection. I don't know that they would do this. Would you draft a player that maybe you feel you would need next year, considering they're so high up? If Joe Burrow's going to keep this team on the winning track, that means they're normally going to be drafting much lower than 18th, right around the high 20s. Low 30s. So would you draft T. Higgins' replacement this year? If it was someone like Brian Robinson Jr., for instance, would you go ahead and do that? I think all of those things are on the table. Would you take the tight end Brock Bowers at 18? Even though you don't feel like you need a tight end, we all know Brock Bowers is more than just a tight end. He's so explosive. He's a touchdown producing player. He can supplement the two wide receivers that you have in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And if you lost T. Higgins to free agency at the end of 2024, you already have your maybe secondary weapon on the offense in Brock Bowers. So those are the multiple ways in which the Cincinnati Bengals find themselves in, having done such a good job.
People say, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah who said, if Brock Bowers ends up in Cincinnati, they're throwing a party there in the Bengals.
That's right.
At their draft party. A good fit makes them really explosive next year with all of those offensive weapons, but he might not be there at 18. So in the event that he is not an option for the Bengals, what do they do then? We'll throw out some specific names in terms of maybe a potential plan B that's coming up next. Welcome back. Lindsay Rhodes and Solomon Wilcotts here discussing the Bengals draft approach, and we're going to get to the Browns in just a bit. But before the break, Solly identified Brock Bowers as a guy that might be on the wish list of the Cincinnati Bengals front office. There is a chance, Solly, I think it's a pretty good chance that he's not available when the Bengals pick at 18. The Jets in 10 in particular, a team that I see connected to him a lot. So if you have to pivot off of that, I know you mentioned defensive tackle, cornerback, maybe O-line is some other position groups that they might be interested in targeting at 18. Where do you start?
Well, you know, the offensive line is an issue that Cincinnati Bengals, it's always been a point of conversation in Cincinnati since Joe Burrow arrived. And as you well know, protecting him is priority number one. Keeping him safe and on the field and his availability is so important to this football team. So I could see them wanting to add depth to this offensive line. I think they're very strong and secure in terms of their starting five after signing Trent Brown at the right tackle position. Jonah Williams had played that position last year after moving over from left tackle to right. He now is in Arizona, having defected via free agency. Look, if J.C. Latham were still there when the Cincinnati Bengals went on the clock, I think that'd be great. I think the Bengals would love that. You just don't know because there's a cluster of really talented offensive linemen, and you don't know what the teams ahead of them are going to do. We know there's going to be a run on these offensive linemen. You just don't know who likes who. It's kind of like dating, right? The girl may like one guy, but guess what? That guy might not be the one for her. So guess what? She's got to choose someone else. Maybe that another team like, and that team has already taken that player. So it's going to be really like speed dating a little bit in that first round, at least in the upper 15. That's how the offensive linemen are going to go that quick. I think if there's an interior defensive tackle that's there, like a Byron Murphy, because I do think the best defensive tackle in the draft could still be available when the Bengals go on the clock. Think about it. They have the 18th overall pick. They would love to be able to not necessarily replace DJ Reader because they did sign Sheldon Rankins in free agency. But if they could add to that with the best defensive tackle on the board, knowing that you're only picking 18th and he's still there, I think they would be dancing in the street if that scenario were to occur.
Yeah, the O-line thing, to your point there, I think it's definitely the draft in general is an exercise in beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So it just depends on how different front offices will view these guys. But with the offensive tackles, it feels very obvious that it's going to be like, well, and maybe it won't be, but it feels like it's Joe Alt. And then there's a cluster of guys. And it'll which of these asterisks that are attached to each one is the one that you're concerned with or the one that you're least concerned with. And they all kind of have different strengths and weaknesses and hand size and arm length and all that kind of stuff. What specifically do you think that the Bengals might value the most in terms of like buzzwords that people can get in their brains when they're going and they're looking at some of these offensive tackles that would be more concerning or less concerning for the Bengals if they're trying to evaluate this position group?
I think it'll be offensive line. I think it'll be size. They want mass. Think about Orlando Brown. He's already at left tackle. This guy's, 6'7", 340 pounds. Trent Brown is 6'8", 350-plus pounds. These guys are massive. Right now, getting off the bus, the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line is looking really good. I mean, the guards are big and strong. They are huge. And so to be able to add another younger player, considering the veteran years that are right now on Trent Brown and Orlando Brown, you expect them to be able to stay healthy. But I think having some depth and having another player within the rotation, I think would be really good. And Lenz, also don't sleep if one of those corners, one of the top corners on the board, like Terrion Arnold, if he's still there, I don't think they would blink or hesitate to be able to take him. I think another player kind of to the liking of one Lou Anarumo is Cooper DeJean from the University of Iowa, a guy who can play safety, can play corner, he can play nickel. He's a hybrid player who does so many things well. We always say that the defensive backs are the decathletes of the NFL. Well, Cooper DeJean is a decathlete, a heck of a baseball player, multi-skilled football player who's played a lot of different positions on the football field. And from the neck up has a tremendously high football IQ. The Cincinnati Bengals, they love top-notch corners. So if one of the top three or four are still there, I think they're going to find it hard to pass on that player.
What about the later rounds? Is there anything specific that you would like them to attack at some point in terms of a position group?
I was going to say tight end, but if it's not Brock Bowers, it doesn't matter. seriously, with the wide receiver position, Lance, it's about supply and demand, right? There's a huge demand for elite wide receivers. But the reason why you can wait till later, because there's a huge supply as well, right? Now, but think about this. You don't find a Travis Kelce in a draft every single year. you know, a Sam Laporta, right? You might, the last couple of years, we've been really good with the tight ends this year, but Brock Bowers is such above a lot of the players that we see coming in the draft every single year that his grade is so much beyond an average or typical, even a first round tight end. He even exceeds that in terms of his production, his versatility, his speed, his strength. And so that's why once you're past him, the next tight end on the board is not even in the same zip code. And that's why if you missed out on him, you're not trying to stick around, wait for the next tight end. So look, they have a really good roster, and that's why they can allow the board to come to them. So after maybe the defensive tackle or the offensive tackle or the cornerback, when they get into those later rounds, if they don't get them in the first round, they'll still be looking for them a little bit later in the draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they just for depth purposes took a running back at some point later. And again, this is later that we're talking about with Joe Mixon now in Houston. Yeah. I really love the Zach Moss signing. I told you I do the fantasy football show for the Believe Network. And from a fantasy standpoint, I think there's massive value in Zach Moss. So I love that pick, but obviously you can always have depth at the running back position. And this isn't a high-end running back group. So that's where you're looking at running backs anyway. That's the Bengals. 9-8 last year without a healthy Burrow for a good chunk of the season. Be sure to tune into the Believe in Bengals podcast for more on them and their draft approach. Some great recent guests that you've had on, Solly, like Trevor Sikkema, Anthony Munoz, Luke Easterling. So be sure to check that out, everybody. In the meantime, we're going to pivot to the other Ohio team, one that also had some health issues at quarterback last year. There's a bit of a theme to this Ohio football situation. That's the Cleveland Browns. They have 6 draft picks. What should they do with them? That's coming up next. Welcome back, Lindsay Rhodes and Solomon Wilcotts here from the Believe Fantasy Football Show and Believe in Bengals, respectively, taking a look at the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. Can't wait. We are taking a look specifically at how the 2 pro football teams in Ohio might approach this draft. We've already talked about the Bengals. Now it's time for the Browns, for whom actually, Solly, the draft will start on Friday. They are in yet another year where they don't have a first round pick.
Yeah, look, they gave up a lot of King's ransom to get Deshaun Watson. And all he's done is played in 12 games over the last 3 seasons. 6 games last year, 6 the year prior to that, and none in 2021. But he did show signs of shaking off the rust last year. He was 5-1 in the 6 games that he did play. And that team was starting to gain some rhythm. And look, they're armed, I believe, with the best defense, bar none, in the National Football League. They rank top 5 across every single metric in the PFF database. And so what Jim Schwartz did with this defense is turn them into a great defense. They went from good to great, and I think they've got a Hall of Famer in Myles Garrett. And so now they just need really someone to show up at the quarterback position because they made some moves this offseason that – I think should make this offense even better around the quarterback.
Yeah, from a real, from a football standpoint moving forward, I think it all kind of revolves around whether or not the quarterback can perform up to the standard that you're expecting. In terms of the draft, this isn't a team that has a whole lot of capital with which to work. They only have 6 points. According to Tankathon, in terms of the draft value of those picks, they are dead last in the NFL in terms of draft capital. 3 of those 6 picks are in the 200s. And the first pick, as we mentioned, isn't until the back half of the second round. They're getting used to waiting in drafts. If they do make that pick at 54, it'll be the earliest that they've picked in a draft since 2021. Their first picks in the last 2 drafts didn't happen until round 3. So they do have experience navigating these specific waters from an approach standpoint. How do you think that they will approach these picks this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's really slim. I think they're going to have to allow this draft to really come to them. When you only have 2 of the first 100 picks, I think they're going to look at maybe one of those picks and look, we already used one on Jerry Jeudy. And I think they're going to be happy with the fact that they gave up a pick to get Jerry Jeudy to bring him over from the Denver Broncos, pair him up with Amari Cooper, another Alabama Crimson Tide wide receiver who's, I think, lived below maybe the expectations of what we thought we were going to get from Jerry Jeudy when he came out of the 2020 draft. So now they're looking at linebacker. They're looking at defensive line. They can use some depth on their offensive line. I think the offensive line is set, but remember, they dealt with some injuries in that area last year. They had as many as 7 or 8 players to take 100 pass snaps. So that's a lot of guys playing a lot of pass protection when it comes to trying to protect your quarterback. Now you know why they started 5 different quarterbacks last year. It was like a revolving door on that offensive line. So I think they'll look to add some depth there as well. But they're going to have to wait and see what the draft gives them, because they don't have a pick until, what, 54, 54th on Friday. So they're going to have to wait to see how that board slides still. But think offensive line, defensive line, and maybe even a linebacker.
With regard to the offensive line, I think that I agree with that as a potential approach in terms of planning for the future. Wills is in the last year of his contract. Conklin doesn't have guaranteed money after this year. In terms of where the O-line, in terms of like rankings, PFF graded them as the 21st team in run block grade, 18th in pass block grade. So I do agree that maybe tackle could be an approach there. Is there a name of someone that you are hearing that you think makes the most sense if that's the way they go?
I couldn't give you a name, Lynn, simply because they're so down the board, right? They're so down the board.
Who knows?
And I'm not the draft expert. I'm not guys who just have a bunch of names that I'm going to throw at you like I already have a crystal ball here would know that. But I can tell you right now, those are the areas they're going to look at. But even if there is a viable option at the offensive line position, they still want to add some depth to their defensive line. But you named it. Jedrick Wills is a guy that they used the first round pick on in 2020, and he started every single game that year. I do believe he's going to be playing on his fifth year option. I believe he's a player that they should try to keep. We already know the two guards, Joe Petonio and Wyatt Teller. You're not going to find two better guard combinations than those two. And so I believe that it's the right tackle, Jack Conklin, who could be the odd man out moving forward. So I would think that that's where they're going to really target. He had a tough time staying on the field a year ago, dealing with injuries. He's getting a little bit long in the tooth, but he's held up and been really good for them during his time with the Cleveland Browns. That time could be coming to an end. And if they can find his replacement a year earlier in the second or maybe third round, then I think if you're Andrew Berry, you're going to be really happy.
This is a team that is pretty well set up, I think, as you have mentioned, moving forward. So you can attack the draft from the position that they're in and try to get best player available. Maybe try to maximize move the board to turn your limited number of picks into a few more picks and a few more swings, I guess. Right.
Yeah, a few more opportunities to get some really good players. I would say this: look for this with the Cleveland Browns. Greg Newsome, he is a starting cornerback for this team. Who in 2021, he was drafted in the first round out of Northwestern. I've loved him when he was coming out. He's done really good for this team. We all know, that they have really good corners in Denzel Ward, Martin Emerson Jr., who is really, I think exceeded Newsome on the depth chart. So whenever you have a team and a general manager like Andrew Berry, if you have a glut at any position, meaning really good players, right, where all three of them can't be a starter, not when you have only two starting corners, that's where they can end up trading one of those players to get some draft capital. Because you're talking about adding more draft picks, I think that's one place where I think they could do it. There's already been some rumors that Newsome could be up for a trade. I think there's already been some fillers put out there. I think he's already maybe even heard from his agent. Don't be surprised on draft day if your name starts to come up, because he's a really good player. He deserves to be a starter. He's going to be playing on his, they're going to have to decide whether or not to pick up his fifth year option this offseason. If they don't pick it up, I think he could be a viable option for a trade and an opportunity for the Browns to acquire
something
more
to look out for there this weekend. We'll have more on the Browns draft approach coming up in just a bit. All right. Welcome back. Let's see. Do you have any idea? Are you tracking time at all, Lindsay, or? Okay.
Yeah, I think we were crushing those. I think the Bengals thing, I wasn't keeping time because I thought you were, but No, I think we crushed it for those first two.
I have rough.
Those are three.
Yeah, now we've got three. So this will be a shorter last one. And some of it will be used to tease all of the different shows. So keeping that in mind. Let's see.
I think you will see them trade one of those corners.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out for sure. Okay. All right. Oh, wait, let me get the time. Sorry. 30. Okay. Welcome back, Lindsay Rhodes and Solomon Wilcott's trying to figure out what the Browns might do with their limited draft resources. Touched on a few position groups that they might focus on maybe earlier in the draft. At some point in this draft, Solly, do you think they take a wide receiver, even outside of the T. Higgins trade situation? At some point, do you think that you could see them targeting a wide receiver to add to this room? And is there a specific guy that has popped to you? I've seen Malachi Corley mocked to them at 54. That feels interesting. He's a guy who's drawn some comps to Debo in terms of stylistically, kind of that like running back wide receiver type. I'm not sure if you think that you see that fitting in this offense, which will be different, you know, just in general with the other pieces that they've brought in, but.
No, I've kind of leaned the other way after the acquisition of Jerry Jeudy. I kind of thought they would be going in that direction. I have since amended my opinion on that. I think Jerry Jeudy is a day one starter for this team. I think they're going to get great production out of him. He's the guy that can lift coverage. He's got the speed. He can get vertical. We already know Amari Cooper can get vertical. You saw the year that Amari Cooper had. He had his best year this year with the Cleveland Browns, but he's always been a good player, whether he was with the Raiders or he's with the Dallas Cowboys. And it maybe took Joe Flacco to help him achieve at that level. And that's where they've got to really be able to blend. You got to get Deshaun Watson going because Elijah Moore can work the slot. You got Jerry Jeudy outside. You got Amari Cooper outside. And don't forget about David Njoku. He's emerged as a weapon. To go with another wide receiver with your second round pick, when you're already limited in picks, it certainly doesn't scream an area of need, right? So the only way that I could see Andrew Berry doing that is if there's a player at the wide receiver position that, and of course we've got a lot of really good ones in this draft, but if there's a player that he didn't even think would be there with the second overall pick at 54th overall. And who that might be, I couldn't tell you, but it would have to be someone that he had rated so much higher, maybe in the first round, who's still sitting there, that there's no way you can pass him up when they do have other needs that have to be addressed.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. For more on the Browns, check out the Dog Check podcast with Eric Metcalf, part of the Believe Football family, as is Believe in Bengals with Solomon. And if you're interested in what any of these moves mean for your fantasy team, you can check me out on the Believe Fantasy Football Show with Michael Fabiano. Draft, again, coming up this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network. And we will be waiting with bated breath to see what these teams do, Solly.
Yes, we will. Thanks,
good times. Liz. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.